Welcome everyone to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting for September 14, 2015. I'd like to remind all of in attendance that the meeting is being videotaped and broadcast online. I'd like to take the opportunity as chair to appoint Chairman Schillerstrom as a member of the, an alternate member of the Finance Administration and Operations Committee for the purpose of today's meeting. I'd also like to thank everybody for their patience and thank the members of the press for their patience today. Will the board secretary please call the roll?
Committee Chair Gomez?
Here.
Director Brooks? Director Johnson? Director Gonzalez? Director Sauer?
Here.
Chairman Schillerstrom?
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Let's move to the public comment portion of our agenda. We have a gentleman, Mark Kanicki, who would like to address the board this morning. Mr. Kanicki?
Thank you.
You can come to the front of the room.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to take the time to introduce myself. My name is Mark Kanicki. I am a resident of Illinois. I live in Schaumburg, Illinois. I'm a strong advocate for anti-bullying and anti-violence programs that we support through a men's and women's minor league football team. We also a huge, in addition, we also promote responsible entertainment and don't drink and drive programs through an organization called Party Guard Chicago. We are actually endorsed by a company called Better Merchant Rates. And that's why I'm here today. When I'm not doing that, I work Vice President of Business Development for them, which I believe we could potentially help eliminate unpaid tolls and with someone who has no iPass or no cash, offer a exemption for people who are out of town and potentially want to swipe a card versus waiting to get a sheet and pay later on down the road. I was a little bit, you know, sidelined. I didn't expect to be speaking today, but I figured why not? I'd at least give an introduction. The goal of every meeting is to book another meeting. I know there's a lot to discuss when it comes to these types of programs, but I know that we've helped out in our local community, and I believe that we could do this on a larger basis for the entire state of Illinois. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Kanicki. Are there any other presenters who would wish to make any public comment today? Thank you, and this concludes the portion of comments for today's meeting. Okay, under chair items, we have approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting held on August 19, 2015. May I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Any questions?
Second.
We have a second.
Second.
Any questions or requests for discussions? If not, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Any abstentions? Motion passes. Having no further items, I will turn the floor over to Executive Director Gregg.
Thank you very much, Director Gomez. A couple of presentations for the committee this morning, beginning with a presentation from Mike Kelch, our Chief of Finance, regarding debt management update. Mike.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning, I'd like to give you a brief update on several items, all of them related to our capital financing plan for Move Illinois. In 2011, as you're all aware, the board approved a $12 billion Move Illinois program to reinvest in the tollways infrastructure. That plan included financing of $12 billion, of which about $7 billion was pay-as-you-go from toll revenue, and about $5 billion from debt issuance. At that time, in 2012, shortly thereafter, the board at the time authorized a number of contracts and authorized the first series of bond issues. Today, what we're looking to do is to make additional authorizations to continue that financing plan. So the first item we have is new bond authorization. In the committee today, we'll be requesting your agreement to proceed with the board with $800 million of additional authorization for revenue bonds to finance a portion of the Move Illinois program, consistent with our previous plan. We're anticipating selling bonds in the fourth quarter of 2015, in the first quarter or second quarter of 2016, and that current plan would require about $700 million of bonds to be issued between now and the middle of next year. We do have an additional $100 million of capacity included in this authorization request. We've done that because if the market is particularly strong for us, low rates, attractive financing, we may want to upsize that issue to take advantage of the fact that rates are low. So this authorization, this additional $800 million, would essentially finance our needs as planned under the Move Illinois program through the middle of next year. We would anticipate a requirement to come back at the end of next year, actually, to authorize additional debt for the end of 2016 and going into 17. Again, all of that as part of the plan that we had laid out in 2011 and 2012. As you can see from this slide, we've done four bond issues so far for the Move Illinois program. It's generated about $1.88 billion of money for proceeds for projects. The interesting aspect of these bond issues is we have been able to hit the market at a good time.
If I can interrupt you, I'd just like to acknowledge that Director Brooks has just joined the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. The assumed cost of borrowing for our program when we set it out back in 2012 was about 5.5% cost of borrowing. As you can see from this slide, we've managed on these first four issues to average about 4.2%. So we are tracking ahead of our financial plan with respect to costs. There is an existing bond authorization, which was initially $1 billion, that was made about a year ago. $800 million of that has been utilized. Council has advised us that we should probably rescind that $200 million. Otherwise, we'll be splitting bond issues across two different authorizations. So what we would ask is that as part of this authorization, we rescind the remaining authorization from the last time the bonds were authorized. There's further description of what is required of this, or what's included in this bond authorization in your board materials. But essentially, it lays out that the bonds would be fixed rate, they'd mature within 25 years, that they'd authorize certain call provisions that we could call them early, and it would authorize the chairman and other officers of the tollway to take actions as necessary to affect the transaction. So we would be seeking your approval for this item today. The second item we have is renewal of a financial advisor pool. Also back in 2012, pursuant to an RFP process, the board approved four financial advisors. At the time, the board felt it was appropriate to have an ongoing financial advisor, someone that was available to provide services, financial advisory services at any time. PFM Group was the firm that was selected pursuant to that RFP to provide those services. In addition, the board sought transactional advisory services or awarded transactional advisory services to AC Advisory, Acacia Financial Group, and Columbia Capital Management. The initial terms for each of these were 3 years. They are now concluding their terms. They do provide financial advisory services in connection with the Move Illinois program. management of our outstanding debt, other capital financing initiatives, arbitrage rebate calculations, assistance with our annual audit with respect to valuation of derivative products, and so forth. All four of these firms are registered as municipal advisors with the SEC, as is now required by the Dodd-Frank Act. What we are recommending today is that these contracts be extended or renewed for a period of 6 months. We think it's appropriate at this time to reevaluate, you know, the services we're receiving, to prepare, provide time to prepare an RFP, and potentially renew or replace the existing firms sometime mid to late next year. So this request today would be for a 6 month renewal, an increase in the authorization, which would accommodate the projected costs between now and the end of that 6 month renewal. And as one other note, we have sought to have diversity in our pool. About 26% of the compensation to date has been paid to MBE WBE firms. Part of the process of financing is also to have a group of firms that can underwrite and market and sell the bonds, not just advise us on the transaction. We have an existing pool of underwriting firms that are senior managers. They're kind of a lead in each of these groups. Senior managers or co-senior managers, we refer to them. They also have the ability to do remarketing of our variable rate bonds. There's 14 of those firms. There are 16 firms in the co-manager pool. These are essentially supporting actors for each of these underwriting groups, each of these bond issues. They provide needed capital and marketing capacity for each of the bond issues as we proceed. So there's a total of 30 firms. Seven of the firms are MBE or WBE. And again, we've had, although not a goal, we've had a target, so to speak, of not a formal goal. We've had an informal kind of target of 20 to 25% for MBE, WBE firms' participation, and we are in that range at this time. Our recommendation for underwriters would be to, and again, this was a three-year initial term, scheduled to expire near the end of this year, near the end, December 31st, I guess that's near the end. Our recommendation would be to request a renewal for 1 year. Again, that would provide us an opportunity to review whether we should rebid this contract, and would provide us an opportunity to assess that opportunity. The underwriting assignments pay to the underwriting group in total $2.50 per $1,000 of par amount of bonds issued. One last item that's also included on the agenda this morning as part of this approval for renewal of the pool is assignment of underwriting groups for each of the next two transactions. In fact, the two transactions, one of the transactions was previously authorized, a refunding bond transaction, and we're waiting on, it's on hold awaiting appropriate market conditions. This action would replace a firm that has been, that's under acquisition. The firm is BMO Capital Markets. It's being acquired by Piper Jaffray. And that acquisition is ongoing now. They can't serve in this capacity. We're asking that J.P. Morgan be put on the transaction to act as a co-senior manager, given that this firm, BMO Capital Markets, has been removed as a senior manager on that transaction because of the acquisition. And secondly, with the upcoming new money issue, no, not new money, actually the second issue, would be RBC and Seabird Branford Schenck as senior managing underwriters, Wells Fargo and William Blair as co-senior managing underwriter, Duncan Williams, George K. Baum, Mesereau Financial, Janney Montgomery, KeyBank, and Robert Baird as co-managers. And just to give you a sense for how these assignments get made, the RFP provides a guideline by which the assignments are made, which is primarily a rotational assignment with consideration given to the previous compensation that firms have received. So the goal here is to equalize participation, equalize compensation during the term of the assignments. That's the sum of the presentation. Have questions?
Thank you, Mike. Do any committee members have questions?
No.
If not, Greg.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you.
At last month's FAO committee meeting, the committee requested that senior staff present a new proposed policy for retainage. We have crafted said policy, and here to present the policy is our chief engineer, Paul Kovacs. Paul.
Thank you, Executive Director. You gave all the notes on the first slide.
Trying to move things along, Paul.
Yep. So I'll just start with a brief overview of the current process for retainage. It is a requirement of our trust indenture. And basically what we're doing is withholding some of the contractor's earnings, and it ensures that we're going to get complete contract compliance from the contractors, and it also ensures that we'll get timely close out of these jobs. And you should note that under the current policy, the board is required to approve all the partial releases and the final releases of the payments, and you'll see why that's important. This slide gives you an overview of the different steps in the retainage process. The gray is what we currently have as our process. The green is how we're going to change it. And really, the only thing that's changing on the first line is when the job's 50% complete, they can request that no more retainage be withheld, and that authorization is done by the chief engineer, so we're not changing this part. But what we are going to do is implement it as an electronic process. We're going to use our web-based project management system to conduct business on that first step. The partial release, that's as the job's getting near completion. You see what changed here? Partial releases require board of directors approval, and we're asking that the board consider delegating this authority to the executive director. And the same thing for the final release of retainage. That's when the job is completely finished. It's been accepted, all the work's been done according to our specs. We're asking at that step also that the board consider delegation to the executive director. And what this is going to do is potentially save us up to 30 days because we have to wait for the next board meeting in order to bring it before the board. And what we're hoping to gain by doing that is speed the money back to the contractor and to the subcontractors so that we could alleviate some of the cash flow issues that they might be having. These changes are permitted by the trust indenture. I think this whole concept of going to eBuilder and making the process electronic is going to save a lot of time and walking all this paper around. It comes in from the field, gets walked around this building, signed by various people, so that's going to improve our efficiency, transparency, and record keeping. I think the delegation of the board's approval of the partial and final release of retainers is also going to speed up the process because now we won't have to wait 30 days for the next board meeting. And I want the board to know that we will still provide a complete monthly report on all the retainage that has been released on all the different contracts so that the board continues to have that information available to it so that you can ask questions if you have any. So basically, with the recommendation to delegate that approval of the partial and final to the executive director, we're hoping that we'll be able to process our payments more timely to the contractor, minimize cash flow issues for the subcontractors and the primes. I think it demonstrates that we're conducting good business practices by returning the monies that they've earned quicker back to them. It will make the contractors even more inclined to treat us as their preferred client. We already pay very timely on all their pay estimates, so this is another demonstration of how we want to be their preferred client, and it's going to help all businesses, large and small.
Paul, I would like to congratulate you and your staff. I'd like to congratulate Chairman Schillerstrom, our Executive Director, Brett Bedloff, for these changes. These are changes that, in my opinion, as a banker, were long overdue. Historically, these small businesses have been hurt in the past because they have not received their payments on a timely basis. I think this moves us forward to do the right thing for all persons involved in doing business with the toll road, that they would receive their remuneration for work completed on a timely basis. So for that, I'd like to congratulate all of you and your staff and the chairman and the executive director. This will help small businesses to be able to get move towards getting the lines of credit that they so need, and also to help them with their certification process that doesn't happen unless they have lines of credit. So congratulations to all of you, and we move forward. Are there any questions from the committee? Comments?
I would echo your sentiments. I think this is really wise to do. For the subcontractors to receive money from the larger contracts is really going to be powerful, especially for some of those minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses. And the only concern that I had was, you know, you authorizing these, but when we look forward and decide on contracts, you know, that's our job as directors to make sure that we're ensuring that the work gets done. But we got to make sure we pay these people on time. So I like this recommendation.
Thank you. Any other comments? Thank you, Greg and Paul. Let's move to Section 6 of our agenda. I understand that the Finance Committee will be presenting four items today. Mr. Kolich.
Thank you. The first item is approval of funding for the workers' compensation insurance program. The TOI has maintained a self-funded workers' comp insurance program since 1988. As required under our bond indenture, a trust indenture, funding for this program must be reviewed by, or is reviewed by, an outside actuary to ensure the program funding remains actuarially sound. This year, Pinnacle Actuarial Resources reviewed the claims trends of the program. They've made recommendations for the amount of the reserves for all the claims that are open through April of 2015. In addition, they've recommended funding for anticipated claims during the next program year, which begins May 1 of 2015 and ends in April 30th of 2016. They're recommending an amount between $8,221,000 and $9,289,000. We're recommending that amount be the midpoint, $8,775,000. That's affordable within our budget. Also, based on the report, the actuary is recommending that we can actually reduce reserves for claims that are still open as of April 30th in the amount, and we're recommending that reduction be in the amount of $2,799,655. Okay, $2,789,655. The actuarial report does show that the number of claims has decreased in the past year, the number of new claims. We believe that that may be a result of a new nurse triage program.